Good evening to one and all. And all in one, you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. If you're just tuning in, you may notice that a Prairie Home Companion was moved up by a half an hour tonight. We did this so we can bring you the Sitka Sound Slayers Roller Derby Bout, broadcast live from the Hame Center. I'm going to be handing it over to your announcers for the evening, Tom Hess, and the Slayer's own, Sin and Tonic.
Good evening, and welcome to the first ever live broadcast of Roller Derby here on Raven Radio. We've got the Sitka Sound Slayers for you, and you've got us coming through your speakers. I am Tom Hess, and my paychecks say Daily Sitka Sentinel on them, but the Raven Radio team has pulled out all the stops for this event. We've got Robert Woolsey and Rebecca LaGuire doing the tech, Rachel Waldholtz and Emily Foreman down on the floor, and we even drummed up somebody who knows a little something about roller derby. I am joined in the booth by Sin and Tonic. Sin and Tonic, you know a little something about what's going on tonight.
I know more than I don't know, I guess. A fair amount. It's going to be a really exciting bout. Everyone is kind of getting a feel for this whole bout experience as a second one here in Sitka, so we're finally really hitting our stride, so it's really exciting to have this live on the air for everyone to enjoy.
We're going to have a lot of stuff for you. If you don't know roller derby, that's fine. Neither do I, but we're going to sort this one out as we go. We've got somebody down on the floor, and we're going to use them. We're paying them, so let's use them. We'll send it down to Rachel Waldholtz.
Hi, thanks, Tom. I'm standing here in the bleachers with a couple of the viewers here, a couple of the audience members tonight, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves. So can you guys tell me your names and how old you are?
I'm Bryce Kelly, and I'm 13 years old.
I'm Brian Joseph, and I'm 14.
Chatham Hansen, and 13.
And you guys are here tonight to see someone in particular. What brought you out tonight?
Our science teacher, Miss Whitcomb, otherwise known as Filthy.
She's playing on the team tonight?
Yeah.
And so have you guys ever been to a derby bout before?
No, we don't know anything about them.
So what are you expecting tonight?
I don't really know. Like, it looks like they're racing and they knock each other over. So that seems pretty cool.
And so it's your science teacher. What grade are you in?
I'm in 7th grade at Bletchley Middle School.
And so your science teacher is out there on the floor. And tell me again what her handle is.
Her what?
Her name.
Whitney Whitcomb.
And her derby name is?
Filthy.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
And back up here in the booth, they know nothing about roller derby, but we're going to start breaking them in right now, and we're going to start breaking you guys in right now. And let's get into the rules a little bit here. So let's start with we've got a track. We're looking at an oval track.
We've got a track. Oval track. So at any given time, each team is going to be fielding 5 players. So there's 10 ladies skating on the track at a given time. One player from each team is going to be the scorer of the team. They're called jammers, and they're denoted by a big star on the side of their helmet.
And this is a game that moves, right?
This is a game that moves. We're going
left. It's like NASCAR, and I'm betting that's right where the comparisons end.
That's about where it ends. Yeah, we turn left. We turn left, but we go fast. So those two jammers, their goal is to try to fight their way through the 4 other team members, or 4 other players from each team, fighting their way through the pack. Whoever gets through first, they're called a lead jammer. Their superpower that they gain with lead jammer status is they can call an end to a jam before a normal 2 minutes is up. And from there, they just try to lap other team as often as they can. The hips of an opposing team member that they pass equals a point.
Okay, so we've covered jammers, but you mentioned we've got eight other people out there, 4 on each team.
They're known as blockers. So it's very aptly named. They're just trying to block their opposing team's jammer and then make a hole for their own jammer to try to skate through.
Okay, and I'm guessing you get comfortable with each other when you do this.
It's an up close and personal sport. We're definitely through 5 hours of practice every week. We're not We're not having any trouble hitting each other anymore.
It's an intimate bunch, and
yes.
as we're looking at this, maybe we'll send it down to somebody who knows enough about it to wear the tie. We'll go down to Rachel Waldholtz, who's got a coach to talk.
Yeah,
to.
Coach yourself.
Thanks, Tom. I'm here on the floor with the coach for both sides of tonight's derby match. This is, well, I'll have you introduce yourself. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Coach Ursalt.
Coach Ursalt. And in outside the derby ring, what's your other name?
Outside the derby rink, I'm Jim Michener.
And so how'd you come by your derby handle? Where'd that come from?
It was kind of a natural process. My wife and I own the sea salt company in town, and so having fun playing with Coach Ursalt, turning it into Coach Ursalt, was a natural thing.
Got it. And so you are coaching both sides tonight, is that right?
I am. Since we've got Sitka Slayers playing Sitka Sound Slayers, I want to just take half the time with one team and then half the time with the other team. In 2 weeks, when we go to Juneau, I'll get to be the coach of our entire team.
And is it hard to coach your own team against itself?
It's incredibly difficult, trying to split the women up and make sure that it's evenly matched and that nobody's stronger than the other group, and making sure everyone's supported is difficult. And it's really hard to not be with half of my team. I feel like I've orphaned them.
Got it. And what brought you into derby in the first place?
My wife, Sodium Chloride, who's out on the track. She's been in love with roller derby for decades. And as soon as there was an opportunity to play in Sitka, she was very, very excited. I was supporting her by coming to practice. And when they decided they needed a coach, I was more or less delegated to be the team coach.
So are you going to be in trouble tonight if her side doesn't win?
I think we'll be okay, but I'll have a little explaining to do.
All right, thanks a ton.
Thank you.
All right, back up in the booth. So we've got puns, we've got skating, we've got physical contact, we've got athletes. Well, if you're not in by now, you're just not in, right?
Yeah, it's a good time. It is a good time all around. And it's another cool thing that thankfully the Hames Center is very, very understanding and extremely supportive of having roller derby in Sitka. They've even allowed us to imbibe some beverages for the audience here tonight with Baranoff Island Brewing Company having a very own Slayers IPA. It's pretty exciting.
And since you brought up, lots of community support for the roller
lots
derby
of
team.
Support.
This kicked off a little over a year ago, and it's been building since. You've been with them for a while.
Yeah.
You're not with them now. Why are you not with them now?
Well, as we mentioned, roller derby is a rather physical sport, and I had the misfortune of during a practice last June, I just took a weird fall and I broke my leg. Actually, the end of the track right in front of us, that's where it happened. It's not my favorite part of the track. But yeah, I broke my leg, so it's been out for a little while, but I've just gotten cleared from my doctor that I am strong enough, my leg is healed enough, so I can start skating again, and I'm really excited. It's a fun sport.
All right, and so as we're getting into that, you're pointing at the parts of the track where you got hurt. Parts of these track come with a little bit more theater than, say, other parts. We've got the folding chairs in the corner. Why don't you break down that corner seating for us?
All right. So as we mentioned earlier, we just turned left in the sport of derby. Everything's going counterclockwise. On the end of the track, by the first and second turns of the track, we have what we call suicide seats. So we have folding chairs set up right outside the ref lane. So on the past the track itself, we have about a 10-foot safety boundary where the referees skate, and then past that we have chairs lined up right close to it. You have to be 21 or over to sit there, because by sitting there you're saying, I acknowledge that I could be hit by a falling skater.
Okay, now if you're wondering if we're just going to talk the whole time, the answer is yes, this is radio, that's what we do. But we actually do have some gameplay coming up. We're going to get things rolling at 8 o'clock here, about 15 minutes away. Between then, we've got some player intros. We've got the national anthem to do. Before we get into that, let's talk about some of these players. You've skated with a lot of these players. Whose names are we going to be hearing a lot of?
Oh, man. We're going to be hearing some awesome names. We have about 30 women who are skating for the Sitka Sound Slayers League. Tonight, we're going to have about 20 of them skating. Some names that you'll definitely be hearing. We have Slovak Yourself on Team White. She's the team captain for Team White. And on Team Black, we have Valkyrie, who right now is sporting a really amazing helmet cover that has Viking's horns. So it really goes with her name of Valkyrie. We'll definitely be hearing of those two tonight. Some of the star jammers that we're having this evening, we have Catastrophe on Team Black. We'll also be having Hot Wheels Hutton on Team White. Double-decker on Team White is an all-around just solid player. She came to us from the Boulder City Bombshells in Boulder, Colorado. And on Team Black, we also have Crash Menagerie is another one of those just locked-down solid players who came to us from Circle City Roller Girls down in Indianapolis.
And now you talked about positions, you talked about players. Are these is a jammer always a jammer? Do they switch spots? How's that work?
No, it's definitely pretty flexible. Like, everyone is encouraged to play both positions. But everyone has their natural skill set, either of what they're good at or just what they personally prefer. So we do have people who tend to be the designated jammers, but that does not mean for any reason that they won't be able to come in and play blocker as well.
Okay, so you brought up the skill sets required here. Let's talk a little bit about what makes a good jammer versus what makes a good blocker.
A good jammer, there's someone who have a great sense of balance and are really quick on their feet. You really have to just try to duck and weave and dance around the other players to try to sneak through that pack. Have that kind of athleticism where you have that quick reaction time. It tends to be a good thing for a jammer. For a blocker, it's just someone who has an impeccable sense of balance and a center of gravity that can't be rocked. Because you're going to be throwing yourself against each other and pushing players around to try to throw the other team's jammer off the track and just be a defensive player. So you really need to feel solid on your skates and just, like a rock on your skates to be able to do that well.
Salsa dancing versus swing dancing. And swivel hips versus good bass.
Yeah, exactly.
As we're lining up here for introductions that are coming up on the way. We're going to try and feed right through the audio for that. So let's listen to some introductions here.
Bruce Kinney!
'Productions didn't catch them all, neither did I. We'll be talking about them a lot as we go. We're gonna head up for the anthem here, but as we're getting ready here, what are the players getting ready for now? What are they doing as they get into this?
Well, let's see. Right now, very important part of the game is safety because it is a physical sport. So what we have right now is the referees coming out doing a gear check. So making sure everyone has the safety gear that they need and it fits properly so they can get the hits and take the hits the hits that they need to play the game.
Checking for the roll of quarters and the elbow pads and all the old tricks.
Yeah.
The players are getting out. They're going to do their checks. They're going to get themselves ready. And we'll be doing the same here. As we're going along here, So what's the opening that we're going to look like? As we, once the audience finally gets to stop hearing us stall for time and get to start calling a game, what are they going to see? What are we going to be telling them?
What are we going to be telling about? So the start of the game starts off with a single whistle blast. It's very exciting. So we're going to have those five players from each team lining up on what is called the jammer line. It's the starting line. They'll count down and have that first whistle blow. We're going to have a sick celebrity, Burgess, is going to be blowing the first whistle of the game tonight. Once those get started, it's all speed ahead. Those eight players, they're blackers for both teams. They're going to be trying to contain the other team's jammer. They're going to be trying to fight their way through, and they're going to be spinning around the track, throwing hips, taking hits. It's going to be great.
So I must say, for a game that's played on four wheels of danger with helmets and elbow pads and that looks Mad Max-ian, we sure do have a lot of officials. Tell me about the officials.
We do have a lot of officials. It's really impossible to have a derby bout without a whole ton of volunteers. So right now we have six referees on skates, four inside the track, two outside. So two of those referees are designated as jam referees. So they're going to be keeping an eye on the two jammers, keeping track of making sure that they are doing everything legally, not throwing any elbows, and also keeping track of the points that they rack up as they go around the track. We also have a pack ref, which is making sure that people are staying within the field of play. And then a general overall pack refs who are keeping an eye on all the players, making sure everyone's doing everything as they're supposed to, not as they might want to.
Okay, so there's a pretty hefty rule set. We're looking at, like, what, 70, 76 pages of rules or so.
Yeah, it's quite extensive, but yeah, it's done for a reason. It's a new game. It's a new sport. It really started up again in its revival in Texas in 2005. And since then, the Women's Flat Track Derby Association has taken a lot of effort to make this a real serious competitive sport. The new rule set actually just came out last month, working to try to make this as competitive of a game as possible while still being a safe game to play.
We're just about ready for the anthem here as the derby we've talked about, it's been kind of an evolving sport. The first derby showed up in like the 30s, and it was started by some guy who I'm sure looked like the guy who sold me my Toyota Tercel with the with the beehive in the trunk. As we're getting ready for the color guard here now, Coast Guard color guard about to take the floor. We'll take a break. We'll let them have it over the national mic, and we'll send it down to the floor.
In front of the skaters, checking out their safety gear. Derby players are required to wear certain safety gear. They got to wear a helmet. They got to wear wrist pads. They got to wear elbow pads. They got to wear knee pads. And they have to wear a mouth guard. And all of it has to be in place and correct. So, oh, and they also have to have numbers on their arms and on their backs. You'll notice that they also have their names on their backs. Sometimes it's easier to follow the names than their numbers, but they have to have their numbers. And each and every one of them has their numbers on them. You'll also notice that the team captains are sporting a big C on their arms. That's how you know that they are the team captain. And so, are we done? All right. So now that the referees have checked to make sure that all of our skaters are safe, we've got the Coast Guard color guard.
Coast Guard color guard taking the floor and soon to be joined for the national anthem. And here we go with the national anthem.
To sing the national anthem, Breezy Ann McClenahan.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Beautifully sung.
There's your national anthem. I've got nothing in my headset. Let's send it back to the floor to Rachel for an interview with Cindy Edwards.
Thanks, Tom. So I have someone here who's worked very hard to make events like this possible. So, Cindy, talk a little bit about what it took to make something like this possible in the Hame Center.
Well, the great thing is that these ladies are incredibly organized. They're really well put together, and they are so dedicated. They are doing their practices here twice a week, three times a week, actually. Dedicated in their work to, like, barely keeping up on their skates to changing into these amazing women athletes. So for us, it's really just keeping the gym working and open and keeping people coming so that the lights stay on, the programs keep happening, and then events like this can happen. So little by little, as we succeed, it allows for all these other events to succeed. So it's really fun to see it happen.
I think we cut out there. You were talking about how you've watched them go from just not being able to skate to something like this. And has that been exciting to watch?
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. I mean, they're just so dedicated and loyal to their sport and to each other as well. But a lot of folks were like, never knew really how to skate. And they went from that to being just so graceful and athletic on skates. It's been really fun to see. And more kids are getting involved because they want to learn how to skate. And it's just been awesome to watch.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Cindy.
Thank you.
Back up in the booth. We're ready to get going here. We've actually got some roller derby to play. We're getting a short demonstration to get an idea kind of what we're looking at. What are we looking at? We've got a pair of jammers out there. Who are they?
All right. The two jammers we have for this demonstration is Julby Hurton on Team Black and Double Decker on Team White. So what we saw come through is Double Decker worked her way through the pack without getting any penalties, without being hit out of bounds. She got the lead jammer status, which is why we see her particular jam ref following her around, holding a big L shape with his finger and thumb in the air. Julby Hurton, who was knocked down, still can score points, but does not have that lead jammer status where she can call off a jam early. A jam will normally last 2 minutes.
Okay, so you talked about scoring points. How do we score points? How do they decide any points? We've got jams. Jams take two minutes a pop. How many points can you score in a jam? Set number of points? How does that work?
Sky is the limit. Whatever you can get in 2 minutes is amazing. You can see on power jams, which for some reason, if one team's jammer is in the penalty box serving a penalty, the other team's jammer, they can cruise through and rack up points. I've seen as many up to 30 to 50 to 60 points being racked up in a two-minute jam. A point is earned every time a jammer passes the hips of an opposing team member. If there's someone sitting in the penalty box, the first skater of the opposing team they pass on the track also counts as a player in the box. So they count as 2 points, not just one.
And we're just about set to go here. Teams lining up. We've got Team Black in the front line, Team White just behind them. They're getting ready to take off. Waiting for that first whistle that'll eventually get us rolling.
Oh, 5-second call. We have Burgess, who is going to be blowing the first whistle to start off tonight's bout. Jockeying for a position on the line. Only a couple seconds left before that first whistle to start things off.
It's like keeping the horses in the gates too long at the Derby. They just get antsy.
It's a little bit.
And they're not even on roller skates.
It's probably good. 5 seconds call. 3, 2, 1.
And here we go. We've got Derby action. And the first jammer through.
Julby Hurton fights her way through. She earns lead jammer status. She is booking her way around the track. Double Decker is trying to catch up. She's about a quarter lap behind.
And so Julby Hurton, she's in the driver's seat, you might say. And here she is. She's approaching the wall. This is her first chance to get a big cluster of players.
Yep, she
and
fights
she's
her way
through.
She's through. So she passed four team members of White Team, scoring her team, Team Black, 4 points. Double Decker was hit out of bounds, makes her way back.
So Julba Hurton's got a chance to just pad on to it here.
She can keep adding on. So she's got another couple points being racked up. Double Decker falling about a quarter lap behind.
Julba Hurton's tied up in traffic right now. Now fights through.
Oh, fights through. And we have Double Decker sneaking right through. Looks like we have a penalty for Julba Hurton. I didn't catch what it was. But this means that we have a power jam situation for Team White, which means Julba Hurton has to spend 30 seconds in the penalty box where she can rejoin her teammates on the track. Until then, Double Decker doesn't have anyone to compete with for points. She can just keep skating around, racking up the points until the 2 minutes are up.
The rink is her oyster as she sets up here to come through this wall. What are we looking at as she comes through this wall?
As she comes through this wall, we're going to see her teammates are going to be trying. Basically, all they have to do is make a hole for her to get through. There's no other jammer for them to try to hold back, so the white blocker's job is just to make it easy for Double Decker.
As she skates through, she kind of takes an inside path, toeing that line. Talk a little bit about the engagement zone. We see all these players clustered together. That's by design, right?
Yeah, that cluster together is called the pack, which is the highest concentration of players from both teams.
And Julba Hurton, Double Decker, now 18-5 lead here as we go in for White out on top. And Double Decker getting a chance to just keep adding to it.
Keep adding to it. Julba is back on the track. And we have four whistles. That denotes the end of a jam. Those 2 minutes are up. So we're going to switch lines here.
Jam ends. Right now we've got a 23-9 lead for White over Black. What does that lead mean? Let's talk for people who have no idea what haven't seen roller derby before. What kind of scores are we looking at here?
It's a really high scoring game. As we saw, I mean, in 2 minutes we scored 23 points for Team White. And a 20-point difference really isn't that much. That's something that can easily be made up in one jam. It's a pretty high-scoring game. I would guess that we'll probably have probably close to 100 to 200 points being scored for each team before the night's done.
And we've got a new jammer in and a new jammer out front, and it's the black kids got their jammer out. It's Catastrophe.
Yep, Catastrophe, and we have Slovak Yourself coming around for Team White. Oh, man, we've got a player from each team, a blocker from White and Black, both sitting in the penalty box.
And
Catastrophe called off the jam early as she had lead jammer status. Taps her hip, signals to the refs that she wants to cut it off early.
So we just set up another line shift to steal a hockey term. Anytime Tom uses a metaphor from another sport, just go ahead and take a drink. As the white team and the black team set up for another jam. And we got our subs out. Now, the jammer's denoted by a cap with a star, but we've also got people out there with a cap with a line on it. Tell us about that.
Okay, that line on their helmet is denoting a pivot. That is the name of the position. They're basically the captain for that shift, for that line on the track. So if for some reason there's a general team penalty, it'll be the pivot who takes the heat for it. Also, there's a special situation where if the jammer is just getting beat to pieces or is getting tired, she can pass off that helmet cover with a star on it to the pivot. She can put it on and become the jammer. The only two players that can happen between is the jammer and the pivot.
And 23-18 your score now. White still out in front as Black adds a couple more in that jam. We set up another jam. And here we go. See, and this is what we've talked about before. You've got players switching out. Double Decker now jumps in as a blocker. We've got two more jammers as we get set for the next jam. How frequently do these jams get called off before the two-minute mark?
It's really up to that lead jammer and the tactics that are being implied, tactics that are being used by each team. When it's really a close score like this, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to try to call it off early. It's really just a call by each team. It's pretty nice to just, if you want to be mean to the other jammer, if you're way out ahead, as soon as you pass through and calling off the jam right before they start to enter the pack and get points, it's very frustrating, but it's a good tactic.
Okay, setting up for another jam here. Let's talk a little bit of strategy defensively. We've talked about score. talking about defense, since you're a blocker, what are you trying to do? What's some of the strategy for these blockers as we get started on the second jam?
Definitely the buddy system. You never want to be by yourself as a blocker. You are most effective when you have another teammate to try to make a wall with. So by making walls, it's you're leaning up like hip to shoulder, being a wall in front of the opposing team's blocker. And also just using each other as battering rams. If you see a jammer going around the other side of your teammate, to just take her by the hips and push her over and to try to hit that other jammer out. So teamwork is definitely the key point of being a blocker. You have to know where the rest of your team is to be effective.
And just as we started talking about defense, a good defensive struggle here early is both teams fighting through the wall. Jewel Hurton finally gets out ahead, and she fights through the wall, scores some points for Black. And jam's called off.
Jam wasn't called. So what they called that whistle was for a no-pack call. As I mentioned earlier, it's the highest concentration of players from both teams denotes a pack. That's where gameplay happens. And those players have to be within 10 feet of each other. If they get too spread out, the ref will throw up his hands and call no-pack, which means no legal engagement can happen. No one can hit each other. Until everyone packs back up, gets within 10 feet, and normal gameplay can resume.
And here now, packs reformed. We're getting back to it. Jewel Behurton out in front. Jewel Behurton's got the ref following her with the L in the air, giving her the lead jammer set. And she's going to go to work as her team sets up. They're going to try to find her a hole.
Bruce Pinner, jammer for Team White, is hot on her trail. Oh, but Jewel sneaks through like it's like there's no wall there at all. Blue is doing a great job in holding Bruce back, but she was able to sneak through on the inside turn.
And so Jewel with another chance here to rack up some points as she approaches the wall. Going to take an outside angle on it.
Oh, and
cuts
Valkyrie,
right through,
her
gets
teammate.
A lead block by Valkyrie.
Yeah. And we have 2 minutes up, and the jam ends. So we have 30 seconds that take place between each jam that gives each team a chance to switch up lines and get some fresh legs back on the track.
38-35, White out in front on this Sitka Sound Slayer v. Sitka Sound Slayer matchup. 22 minutes to play in the first half. We play two 30-minute halves with a running clock based on jams. And setting up for the second jam, and here we go as Black team holding out the white jammer. Still nobody emerging from the
That is a tight group of players. Oh, Crash tried to take the inside turn, but is knocked out of bounds. Sneaks back in. Slovakisov also hit out of bounds, fighting right through. And Crash Menagerie from Team Black is able to fight her way through, gets lead jammer status, and she's looking pretty happy about that. She's got some pizzazz to her skating.
And it's going to be Crash Menagerie out in front, and you're listening to live roller derby coverage on KCAW Raven Radio. Back with the action, and we're going to have a whistle.
Yeah, Crash Menagerie called off the jam early, and we're having a 30-second interval to switch out the lines.
30-second break. Get another line shift here. Players up and off the bench. Each team dressing about nine. So you've got a first unit, a second unit, and somebody gets to hang out there. And team's setting up as we approach another jam.
Yeah, so the maximum number of players that can be fielded on each team for about is 14 players. So you can have a pretty comfortable set of line shifts going on where no one's really going to be skating for 10 dozen minutes on end. Because we have a smaller group of women skating tonight, each lady is going to be spending a lot more time on the track, which is exciting and tends to be pretty tiring. But they're looking good so far.
Valkyrie has the lead jam, got pushed out of bounds, so she's got to retreat and try it again. She'll set up again as she approaches the wall. Tries to take an inside pass this time. Tries to split the double team. Now does so. Back out ahead, racks up some more points for Black, and she'll circle around, try it again as the blockers regroup at the other end. And Black right now, and Valkyrie approaching that line, no one out in front of her end.
Yeah, it's a power jam situation. We have double decker in the box, so no competition for Valkyrie right now. She just has to fight her way through, and she calls off the jam a little early. give her legs a break and get some fresh legs out on the track.
48-38 now. Black out in front of white as these teams trade the lead and set up for their next jam. Hot Wheels jumps in for white on the block as the jammer.
Along with Catastrophe for Team Black. Both are new skaters. They just started skating with the team with our first new Slayer intake, which was this past fall. And they took to it like fish to water. They have been great skaters.
And Hot Wheels
jumps through on the outside as lead jammer.
Shoulder brace and all out in front. And
Catastrophe is fighting her way through, and she's trying to catch up to Hot Wheels as she's making her way around the track for her first scoring pass.
Hot Wheels out in front by about 18 lengths. There you go, another horse racing reference. As she approaches the pack, cuts through the center, now approaches the black line, runs into a wall, dancing along the sideline.
Oh, and Catastrophe sneaks her way through on the outside.
And Catastrophe racking up points as Hot Wheels all the way back. Catastrophe with a chance to lap Hot Wheels does so.
Oh, and Hot Wheels makes a good call and calls off the jam before Catastrophe is able to sneak in any more points.
So next jam, some players up off the bench. 53-41 black out in front.
Oh, and we have an official timeout going on. I am not sure as to the reason behind the official timeout, but our head ref, Smarty Pants, is the one who called it off. So at this point, we have the captains from each team going into the center to meet with the referees to discuss potential maybe a penalty call that they're reassessing or any number of things.
They could be finding out whose car has the lights on in the parking lot. It really could be anything as these teams get a little bit of a breather. You're starting to see the legs get a little bit tired as these teams haven't quite gotten to that second win yet, kind of getting into this match. Generally, as you're getting through these derby games, this is a pretty rigorous sport. What's it take to be a good derby athlete? How's it different from, say, being a badminton player?
Oh, well, being a badminton player, for one thing, you got to be able to take and give hits. But this sport it's a combination of a great deal of endurance to be able to skate for hours on end, and also just a great deal of muscle tone and core strength that's involved to be able to stand up and keep skating while you are hitting people. People are jostling against you. It's a really every part of your body has to be toned and in shape to really be a good derby player. But by no means is this an elitist sport. Just about anyone, if you have the guts to get on skates and to give it a whirl, you'll probably do all right.
And you got to skate, so it's like hockey, but with a better sense of style. Let's talk a little bit of style. This is a game that both has a lot of rules and doesn't have a lot of rules. There's a lot of stuff going on the track, but you also get to make up your name. You get to kind of like play a little bit around with your outfit. Get into that sort of derby culture a little bit.
Well, derby culture, it's kind of just when derby started up again, it was a sort of alter ego sort of situation for a lot of the women who started it. It was kind of an underground sport, and they picked their underground derby names to go with it. And it's just been a fun tradition that's kept on. As for outfits, yes, it tends to be some like sparkly tights and shiny short shorts, but there actually is a reason for that. When you fall and hit that wood floor, it definitely helps to have tights on to help slide versus to stick to the floor if you just have bare legs. A lot of teams, as you can see now, we have our new jerseys in. So we have official jerseys for black team and white team that each player now has. And you'll see that in a lot of teams around the country and around the world. We have the official jerseys. Some teams go so far as to have matching helmets, matching shorts, matching skates. But We haven't gone to that extent yet. We still have the freedom to have your own bits of flair involved in your outfit.
They are dragging this official's time out like a filibuster as the teams get kind of eager to get back into it. They don't want to stand around and get stiff legs. As we stall for time here, talk a little bit about the history of this team. Start a little bit over a year ago. You've talked a little bit about the influx into it. Where What have you guys gotten done so far? You've had two bouts. Where are you kind of looking to go?
Well, like you said, we started a little over a year ago. Last January was the time we first started getting practices happening. I joined the Slayers late February, early March of last year. And we've had a pretty strong group of women who show up twice a week and then three times a week if we add on practices. We're making great strides. And we've had our first two bouts now here in town. Which has been great to kind of get our legs under us and figure out what it is to have a bout. And at the end of this month, we will be playing the Juno Roller Girls in Juno, which is quite exciting. It's the first time we'll be playing other players. And they're a great team. They've been playing now for over 2 years. So they've got some derby bout chops to them. So it'll be a good way to test our skills.
What's derby look like in other places in Southeast Alaska?
There's actually a number of teams that are in Southeast Alaska. There's here in Seca, we have the Seca Sound Slayers. We have teams in Petersburg, Wrangell, Ketchikan. There's also a league up in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Denali. And it's really the fastest growing sport in the world right now. There's teams popping up all over the place, both in Alaska and the rest of the lower 48 and around the world.
Hey, look, we've got derby back up starting again. It turned out. Delay of game penalty. Now, if if you can't pick up on the irony of taking 5 minutes to sort out a delay of game penalty, then you just can't enjoy irony. These teams getting ready to go. What's a delay of game penalty mean? And we're getting a little bit of a different look here.
Delay of game penalty? I'm not exactly sure what the specific delay of game was. A lot of times it's if there's a confusion as to a player that either should or should not be in the penalty box. Any sort of delay that can cause of trying to figure that out when a jam should be happening, that can be a delay of game call. It can be any number of things. I'm not sure what it was, the reason this time. But we're still having what looks like a power jam for Team Black. Jewel B. Herding is jamming, and she fought through the pack, scoring 4 points. Excuse me, 5 points. Looks like Double Decker is on her feet and back on the track. She will still have to make an official pass, first pass, before she can start scoring. So Jewel still has a head start on her.
So Jewel B. Herting racked up like about 10 points there just during that power jam. When power jams happen, is it similar to a power play in hockey? It's like that's your chance. That's where you really got to make some headway.
Definitely. And Jewel made a good call of ending the jam early before Double Decker was able to make her first scoring pass through the pack. So keeping this, looked actually in the past couple minutes, we've had a change of a lead. Black is currently leading with 65 points to White's 41 points. But like I said earlier, that's really still a pretty darn close game. 20 points is an easy thing to make up.
17 minutes to play in the first half. These teams setting up for their next jam. And here we go. Hot Wheels trying to break through the jam. And
oh, catastrophe, holding her back. Ooh, and she's hit a, ooh, we got a little tussle with the ref.
Yeah, ref getting some of the business as Valkyrie finally out ahead for the lead jam.
For Black Team Black, Hot Wheels Hutton for Team White is coming through. She's getting escorted through by Slovak. Ooh, but it takes a good fall out on her butt, but she's coming back in. Still fighting her way through that first pass while Valkyrie is making her first scoring pass. But she's really being held back by a very strong wall by White.
Valkyrie trying to get through three defenders has finally spaced them out. Now she's only got two to deal with. Trying to get around Molotolchik.
Oh,
and pushed out of bounds, so she'll have to reset. Comes up again. Still trying to fight through those two. Meanwhile, Hot Wheels is out ahead.
She's got a couple points racked up. Well, Valkyrie is just, calling it off. That white wall, that was a fierce wall. They weren't giving her an inch. So calling it off, resetting the lines, going to try this again.
And resetting for a next jam. 68-41 the score with about a halfway through the first half as these teams set up for their next jam, switching the hats to designate which players which. Two fresh jammers. Fresh lines for both teams.
We have Bruce Pinner for Team White and Jewel B. Herting for Team Black. Both really being aggressive and fighting way through. Jewel is up front
Only forced out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
Manages to stay in bounds. Cuts it back in.
This is some aggressive skating we're seeing today, much more so than our first bout. I think people are finally getting really comfortable and knowing that they can, that our their fellow team members are really can take those hits, so they're not being afraid to really lay into each other.
And so B. Hurton swinging back around the track, setting something up, gets a good screen from her line,
and then
hits the hips, calls it off, and we'll reset again for another jam as we are under 15 minutes to play. 70-43, blackout in front of white.
Oh, got a bit of confusing on where the panties are. Excuse me. Panties are another, what we call the caps that we put on our hats, that on our helmets, excuse me, that have either the pivot stripe or the jam star.
Got to say, I like caps better. Panties always been one of those weird words. There's something infantilizing about the Y.
Yeah. Oh, catastrophe. Made just a beeline out through the pack. Well, Tochki's coming up behind, but Catastrophe's got a good lead. She's a really strong skater. Ooh,
and
just coming up to that white wall.
Going to work on that wall.
Calling it off. All right.
And calls off the jam.
Yeah. They can be really quick turnarounds sometimes, but.
And Jewel coming back in as jammer for black.
Slovak yourself for Team White. Now, these ladies definitely have the adrenaline pumping. It's, I mean, Derby is a fast game, but this is even a particularly fast pack that's going around. These ladies are really, you can tell they're really excited because they're really skating fast.
And Jewel almost through the lead, still trying to get around that, and she's forced out of bounds. Kicks back in and finds it again on the inside track.
Oh, Slovak is coming straight up behind. It's amazing to watch Jewel skate. She is one of those people who just light on her toes, dancing feet, can sneak her way through just about any wall.
And here she comes approaching the wall, going to call off the jam.
Oh.
Ref didn't see it.
Nope, she wasn't lead jammer, so she's not able to call it off. Oh, and she's called for a track cut. Got distracted in trying to call off the jam and ended up giving herself a track cut penalty instead. So this now leads to a power jam for Team White. Slovak yourself kind of leaning back, assessing the situation, and sneaking through, racking up 5 more points.
And so this is a chance for White to kind of climb back into it. They narrowed it down. It's a 21-point lead now. She's got a chance to drop that down below 20 as she approaches the line here.
Oh, we call that the Hulk smash. One outside player pushing the whole line in right into that unsuspecting jammer. But Slovak made her way through, snuck through that pack for another 5 points.
And B. Hurton's back on the track. Let's see if they call it, and she will call it off. Content to get the points she could during the power jam and then reset for the next set.
All right, resetting. Little deliberation. Oh, let's see. We got Bruce Pinner is putting on the jammer star for Team White. And it looks like Margaret Banger will be on the track for Team Black.
Margaret Banger on the track. Margaret Banger name is pun off of Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood.
Indeed. Sarah is one of the leaders of Planned Parenthood here in Sitka, and I believe in Southeast in general.
Okay, now let's be honest. How many people do you think would have gotten that bit?
Not many. Like, probably
would,
not many. But
would you know Margaret Sanger if she walked in here with a shirt that said, I'm Margaret Sanger?
Well, I wouldn't recognize her, but I recognize the name. But
would you be a little worried that she's been dead for 60 years?
She probably wouldn't be looking very good. Oh, man, but both players still fighting through really close between Pinner and Banger.
Pinner's got the lead jammer status.
All right, looks like both teams are at full strength. We had Black with a blocker out on penalty. She's in the track again, hitting Bruce Pinner out, forcing her back to recycle. Oh, and a track cut for Bruce Pinner. She's trying to call off the jam, but too late. As soon as you get a penalty, you lose that lead jammer status.
And teams clustering back up. Everybody spread out a little bit. And again, it's important for these big blocking lines. They got to stay clustered. That's part of the way that the sport's officiated.
Yes. Yeah, and White's definitely keeping it tight. And we got some...
A lot of tired legs out there.
Lots of tired legs. But Black team is doing a good job in trying to escort Margaret Banger through the white wall.
And Margaret Banger through, but hits the deck.
Oh, but she's up. The penalty called on Margaret Banger. I didn't see the hand signal. Because both jammers were sent to the box, obviously, if you don't have a jammer on the track, it's pretty darn boring. So as soon as the second jammer is sent to the box, the original jammer is sent back on the track. Whatever time she served of her 30-second penalty, that's the amount of time that the second jammer will have to spend in the box. Not the full 30 seconds, just to keep it even.
They're going to call off the jam as we're under 10 to play in the first half. They'll reset for their next jam.
Oh, and another official timeout.
And we're going to get an official's timeout. We'll see if we can't send it down to the floor as they sort out what's going on here. Let's go down to the floor to Rachel Waldholtz.
She's got a couple audience members.
So I'm down here in the bleachers, thanks, Tom. And I have here an audience member who came out to her first derby game. So why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Alita Van Zinderen. I live in Sitka for the summer seasonally.
And what brought you out here tonight?
I have a few friends here that are on the team.
And you mentioned it's sort of strange to see them in their derby alter egos as compared to who they are in real life. What's that like?
It is completely strange. I see so many of my friends out here that are so kind and calm in person, you know, quiet demeanor. And then watching them out here on the floor just kind of beating each other up is a little bit wild.
And you haven't been to a derby match before?
Never before. This is my first one. I have never even seen it on TV. I had no idea what it was about. I did appreciate that they did take time to do some example runs and, like, kind of explain what was going on.
And so what do you make of it now that you've seen a couple jams in action?
I'm a fan of the jam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Back up in the booth as they try to get set for their next jam. Still sorting out the officials' timeout. 8:54 left to play in the half. Black out in front, 81-64 on top of White. Full house tonight. You guys have done well on these ticket sales.
So second time we sold out. We've got about 400 seats here in the Hames Center Gym. We sold out each and every one of those, which is really exciting. Sitka is such a supportive town, and you can really see it here tonight. And people who, like we, with the audience member that Rachel just talked to, who haven't seen a derby bout before, don't really know what it's about, but they're still excited to try it out and support the Sitka Sound Slayers. It's pretty, pretty cool.
Hey, they're getting ready to skate again, and we're getting ready to talk again as they set up for the next jam.
We've got Double Decker on the line as jammer for Team White. And Margaret Banger is still serving the remainder of her penalty as jammer for Team Black.
So these penalties, they can jump jams. If you want to get a little nasty at the end of a jam, you got to ride it out the next time around.
That you do.
And Double Decker.
Jumps her way through, just sneaks back.
Finds a little crease there on the inside, sneaks through it. Gets skinny, as they say, coming through the hole, and sets up to score some points while she's the only jammer on the track.
And Margaret Banger back on the track, having served her penalty. She will still have to make it through. Oh, hard hit. Ooh, to the head. She looks a little shook up. But she's still skating.
Decker with still a chance. She can get out here in front of some of these, out in front of this line. Julba Hurton doing a good job using the sidelines as an extra defender, keeping her at... pushing her out of bounds.
Definitely.
Decker still hasn't cracked through, but Margaret Banger has, and she can score some points.
Actually, that was, I think, believe Margaret Banger's first pass through the pack, so it's just now that she'll be able to come around and score some points.
She's set up. And...
oh, and Double Decker is calling it off.
And we'll reset for the next year. I want to talk about one of the things that audience member brought up is seeing the alter egos out here knocking each other around. And... you got there's a lot of contact, but you guys are still tight, right?
Oh yeah, this is an amazingly supportive group of women, Yes, we get physical. We knock each other around. We give each other bruises. But I really haven't met a group of more fun-loving, supportive, hard-working women. And a lot of these women I probably never would have met if I hadn't started to play derby. It's really ladies from all walks of life. We have professional fishermen, nurses, teachers, stay-at-home moms. We got the whole gamut. And everyone has that common bond of trying something new and playing roller derby.
And it's Catastrophe out with the lead jam, and right behind her is Hot Wheels. Catastrophe into the wall.
Calls it off quick. Ooh. All right, called it off just in the nick of time before Hot Wheels was able to get through and get any points.
Catastrophe hit the floor. Bad position. Hot Wheels had a head of steam. Chance to pick up a lot of points there.
Yeah,
calls off the jam. 6:45 left to play. 81-68. Blackout in front of white. You're listening to Roller Derby here on KCAW on Raven Radio. Caw-caw! As we're set for the next jam. And lots of contact, lots of whistles.
Something, ooh. That was an official end to a jam by our head ref. Still looking to see. It looks like there might be an issue with, I'm guessing, number of players on the track. Potentially an issue with penalties being served. Not quite sure what's going on, but Marty, he is definitely one who has read front to back that large rule set. Every single edition that's come out, he really knows the game and really takes a passion in making sure we play it right.
For those who kind of wondered what's it like being on the track with all those rules, is it tough on the track keeping all this straight? Do you think, oh, am I doing this right? Or does it just kind of like flow naturally once you're in there? Is it like a board game style where once you're doing it, it's a lot easier to explain it?
A little bit, yeah. Once you've played it for a while, you kind of get your head wrapped around it a bit more. It's definitely the first couple times you scrimmage or bout, it's a little confusing just thinking of like, okay, I want to stay in bounds and I don't want to elbow anyone and... Beyond that, it's kind of hard to keep track sometimes. It is a fast game. But the more you play, the more it sinks in. And for the most part, the rules are pretty straightforward at what you can and cannot do. But there is always, you know, some fine rule exceptions, small print sort of thing. But that's why we have awesome referees like Smarty to keep track of those things and let us know when we need them.
Angela Death trying to jump out in front and grab that lead jammer. Still nobody's cracked through to grab that position.
Oh, speaking of the devil, looks like Bruce Pinner is through lead jammer for Team White.
Bruce Pinner out in front as...
Looks up. Ooh. And called for a penalty. I'm not sure what. Oh, but she... So we have a point of no return. So the penalty box, if you skate past it... in the outside ref lane, if you overshoot it, you can't go back against direction of gameplay to try to get in the box. You got to skate all around the track again, and your penalty time doesn't start until your butt hits the seat.
And so only one jammer out on the floor, Angela Death. Chance to make a little ground here, take advantage. Still having trouble cracking through that wall as the white team has kind of buckled down and really, really worked well to create that big mass using each other to create a bigger hole to pass through.
Yeah, it looks like Team Black, they're trying to help out Angela Death to try to fight her way through. That's a really tough nut to crack, you said, with the white wall. We've got an assist from Thrilla, giving her a push from behind and also helping just cracking a hole. And it looks like Bruce Pinner has served her penalty and is back on the track.
And looking at this white line, you see Double Decker skating backwards, pushing her teammates, kind of quarterback in the situation.
Exactly.
As she sets up to do again here now. What's the defensively, is this just to give your teammates a better idea? Is it better give them something to work against to push for?
It's a little bit of both. When you have a player skating backwards, they're able to see exactly where that jammer is trying to sneak up in, and it's really nice to have another point to push against when you're trying to hold someone back. If you don't have anything bracing out in front of you, it's kind of hard to keep someone back who's pushing right up behind you. When you have someone in front, like skating backwards, having hands on their shoulders, really helping to anchor in and hold those jammers back.
Just under 4 minutes to play here as they try to squeeze a few more jams in before halftime. And here we go again, and it's going to be Slovak out in front. And
Valkyrie for Team Black just now making it through that white wall. Coming around, Slovak has about a half-lap head start.
And so the blocker is getting up, setting up their strategy. Slovak comes in looking to find a crease. She works around her own teammates, cuts back from right to left, and is through.
Oh, pulls it off beautifully right before Valkyrie is able to make it through the white wall.
Great right-to-left action going there as she baited the blockers in to take them as far outside as she can before cutting back the other direction. 3 minutes to play now until the half. 81-73, black out in front of white. As we set up for another jam, double decker taking white spot on for the jammer.
And it looks like we have a black jammer currently in the box. So white team will be starting with a power jam situation.
And with 2 minutes and 50 seconds to go here till half, they have a chance only down six to take the lead back here
really
going
do.
Into halftime.
And Decker makes it through her first pass. She's going to be, you can see her. She's really pushing through. She's got tired legs, but this is a great opportunity for her to make up that difference between white and black points.
Double decker cuts through and approaches that wall.
Bruce Pinner makes a hole for it, and she sneaks through. She's just gained 5 points for her team, and we have Valkyrie. Jammer for Team Black on the track again. She will still have to make it through an initial pass before she can start scoring points. So double decker makes through the pack again for another 5 points.
And it'll be interesting to see here if double decker goes for one more pass. Valkyrie's through that line for the first time. So Valkyrie with a chance to score a few points there. Double decker's going to go ahead and call it
she's
off.
She's going to play it safe.
So 85-84, as this one, we've drawn it to a 1 point game with 150 to play. Chance to get a couple more jams in here. See how long these jams take.
Yeah, and so when just because the period clock might end, if the 2 minutes of a jam is still happening, it will go past that end mark.
All right, setting up for the next jam. Who we got on our jammers? Looks like we've got Hot Wheels for Team White.
And Jewel B. Hurton for Team Black. Jewel took a big fall. She was really pushing through. Hot Wheels sneaks through in the chaos. Out in front.
Taking advantage, and she's out with a chance to score some points here. White tying things up, 85 all, and as Hot Wheels comes around looking to put some points on the board.
Jewel is still trying to fight her way through. That white team is just impenetrable. Slovak still trying to push her out as Jewel is almost through. We have the Hot Wheels just coming in the back of the pack trying to make some points. Oh, we have a penalty called on a white blocker. The Filthy Oar is heading to the penalty box. Leaving the white wall a little bit under. So Hot Wheels calls it off. Looks like we still have enough time. To have one more jam for this round, for this period, excuse me.
Girls jumping out onto the floor looking to squeeze in one last round before the half as things tick down.
So we have a catastrophe for Team Black Jammer. Double Decker is throwing on the star to be a jammer for Team White.
And teams just get it off with 5 seconds left to play, so they'll play till the end of this jam. And Catastrophe working her way through, and it looks like she's going to have that just gets around Slovak.
Slovak threw her whole body into that one. Ooh, and Double Decker is fighting her way through. She is just pummeling the track, trying to catch up to Catastrophe.
89-85, white out in front. Catastrophe trying to get that lead back for Black, and she's going to call off the jam. That'll do it for the half, and we're going to take a break for halftime, but first we're going to have another interview down on the floor. Rachel Waldholz is going to be talking to the medical expert down on the floor. Rachel.
Thanks, Tom. So I have with me here someone that you really want at your bouts for roller derby. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Dominator.
Dr. Dominator. Excellent. And so what are you here for tonight?
Well, here to help out the ladies here. This is a sport where it's very active, lots of falling, and the potential for lots of injuries. And it's just fun to be here, help them out, and sometimes they need it.
And so you were here at their last bout, is that right?
Yes.
And it turned out your services were necessary.
There was a fairly significant ankle sprain and a shoulder separation, and it looked like there could have been a lot worse than that. Tonight, surprisingly, no injuries so far, and I've been very pleased.
And so what do you think of a sport that causes this many injuries? Do you feel as a doctor that you can support that?
Well, on one hand, it caused lots of injuries, and on the other hand, it's a lot of women who otherwise probably wouldn't be as fit as they are doing something they're really having a good time with. And I'm absolutely amazed at the athleticism that they have, and it's been a wonderful thing for a lot of ladies. And I guess if we worried about breaking things all the time, we'd probably never get out of bed. But these ladies get out of bed and skate their behinds off, and they're having a great fun doing it.
Great. And why don't you tell just for our listeners at home what your name is when you're not at a derby match?
I'm Dr. Don Lehman. I'm a sports medicine doctor, a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine, and I think this is a wonderful sport for Sitka.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You heard it from Dr. Lehman. Surprisingly, no injuries yet, so the first person to get hurt can blame him for jinxing it. We're going to take a break. Go ahead.
He's a good one to have. Dr. Lehman has actually been my doctor for broken legs, and he's treated us well. We're lucky to have a great medical crew that we do.
So we're going to take a break for halftime. We have had enough for now. 89 all. It's all tied up after 30 minutes of play. We're going to take a break for halftime and send it back to the station here on KCAW Raven Radio.
Hope you're ready to get back to the Hames Center and the Sitka Roller Derby going on right now live.
Thanks, Dave. I'm here on the floor of the Hames Center. This is Rachel Waldholz, and it's halftime here at the Roller Derby, and so I'm talking to one of our scorekeepers. So why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Hadi Anya, and I am the vice president. Today I am scorekeeping because I just currently got over my 9-month injury of being pregnant.
So I think our mic cut out just in the middle of that. I'm going to have you say that again. So you're scorekeeping. Why is that?
Because I currently just suffered the 9-month injury of being pregnant.
So you just gave birth?
Yeah, a few weeks ago. So.
And so now you're here, you're scorekeeping. So talk to me a little bit about scorekeeping. It looks very complicated.
We have black team and white team playing right now, and each jammer, the jammer has the star on their helmet. They each have their own ref, and right now I'm scorekeeping for the black team, so I'm keeping track of the black jammer's ref.
So basically that ref sort of puts fingers in the air when the jammer makes some points, and then you record those points.
Yeah, it's hard to get into the game because you're watching the refs and watching what numbers he's throwing up so I can keep track each time the jammer gets through a successful pass in the pack.
Got it. So you have to be paying close attention through the game.
Of course, yeah. It's really easy, though. Anyone can do it. So if there's any interested people out there wanting to help out, scorekeeping's really easy. You just have to watch the ref, and as he throws up numbers, write it down and make sure you tell the people, the guy that's keeping track of the score up on the on the board, that everyone else can see that you communicate with them.
And are you sad you're not out there derbying with them?
Yes, it's very painful to watch because I want to be on my skates, skating, being jammer, blocking in the pack.
And how long before you'll be out there?
Hopefully within the next few weeks, so I'll be out there soon.
Great. Well, good luck. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And so that was a scorekeeper. Now I have here in the audience an audience member who has a special connection to one. So sorry about that. An audience with a special connection to one of the derby players. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jordan Schauaker. My mom is in the roller derby.
And so what is her derby name? I'm sorry, I think we lost that. So tell me again what her derby name is. And I'm going to try that one more time. So tell me your mom's derby name.
Nitro Jen.
And is this your first time in the derby? Or...
It is my very first time. This is very exciting.
And you know what? We're having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to throw it back to the cable house for now. Throw it back to the booth where Tom Hess is waiting to pick up.
Back and better than ever, wherever you may be, however you might be listening to us, it's Tom and it's Sin and Tonic back in the booth, ready for another half, and we've got a good game going.
We have a very good game going. We are tied even, 89-89, coming into the second half of the Derby bout this evening. We have both teams back on their benches, iced up, ready to go for this second half. They look excited. They look a little tired, but I think mainly excited to get this going.
So as we're getting into the second half, is there a different kind of tenor for the second half now that these teams kind of the game has kind of figured out its pace? We've seen this bout kind of facilitate between lots of speed and then just like grind when the legs hit. Do you kind of expect that to continue?
I think things are going to slow down a bit. I mean, when you first get started, you have a lot of adrenaline. You're really excited. I mean, it's a great time to be able to skate for such an amazing crowd and your friends and family members. So that adrenaline tends to lead to a pretty fast pack. I think things will slow down a little bit, have a little some stronger walls, some more interplay between the packs. That's what I think we'll be seeing for this second half. Not the same amount of speed, but definitely a lot, the same sort of action going on between the players.
So setting up for half number two, everything's squared up at 89. In terms of scoring, does the scoring, because you talked a little bit about things get a little bit more calculated. Teams are, you're not getting that adrenaline, you're starting to get more, teams aren't trying to, you see less of the hero ball, more teams kind of following their blockers, working together a little bit. How's that translate into scoring? Are we going to see more points they have, less points, or is it really will the second half kind of take on its own attitude like the first half did?
I think it'll probably take on its own attitude. Just because you have a fast pack doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be faster scoring. You can have a slower pack, but and just allow for those jammers to really be whipping around real quick. They don't have to skate as fast to catch up to the pack again to keep scoring points. I think it'll be. I think it'll keep on its same sort of trajectory with the same sort of points being scored. But I bet we'll see by the end of the night we'll have scores clearing 200 points for sure.
So whether you're listening to us over Raven Radio, whether you're listening to us on KCAW.org, or if you're just getting some strange sounds through the fillings in your teeth, we're happy to have you with us here as we get set for half number two. And here we go as the bout gets out. And Catastrophe had a good line, knocked out, resets, and now she's out ahead of the pack.
Lead jammer for Team Black is Catastrophe. We have, it looks like, Slovak yourself fighting her way through as a jammer for Team White. Just trying to make her way past Crafts Menagerie, and she's through. Looks like Catastrophe is making her way through the pack for her first scoring pass.
Has to reset, hits the deck, and is going to go ahead and call it off. And as this game goes along, starting to get a little bit of a feel for how these teams are wanting to play. We're seeing, and it's kind of roller derby, roll it par for the course for roller derby. You take your points when you can get them, and if it's not there for you, and you're that lead jammer, do what you can to keep the other team from taking any leverage out of that.
Definitely. I mean, if it's kind of the difference between with a lot of the rationale is, you know, both teams can score 5 points, or you can call it off, and neither of you score a point, but you're not. You're playing a little more conservative. You're not even given the chance that maybe that team will have one more point up ahead. Because one point keeps adding up. It's pretty quick. Oh, gosh. It was a really quick through the pack. Double Decker up in front as lead jammer for Team White. We have Jill B. Hurton as for Team Black. Calls it right as she hits the pack. They both broke through almost at the same time. They were just on each other's heels coming around to the back.
And I got to say, Double Decker kind of cheating us out of what could have been a really good jam there between two great jammers and Jill B. Hurton and Double Decker. As we get set for the next jam, teams lining up, 91-89, 2 points scored here for Black, taking the lead after the halftime draw, just about 2 minutes of the way through this second half. And jam number two out in front.
Bruce Pinner just skips her way through the pack.
didn't meet any resistance. I don't know what Black Team was thinking at this point. Catastrophe, Team Black Jammer, is just barely making it through that first
one man to beat and does so. But Penner already right back into it, and she's got some points.
She's through. She's got that's 4 points scored for Team White. Catastrophe now just approaching the pack for her first scoring pass, and Bruce Penner calls it off before Catastrophe can add any more to the scoreboard.
Looking at these jammers, lots of different ways to get through the line. How much of it is being nimble, having that strength to hold that line and stay in bounds, as you see Julie Hurton do? And how much of it is just being able to find the lane and being patient and kind of waiting for things to develop in front of you?
It's a little bit of both. I think being nimble really does, I mean, obviously it does help, but you can be as quick as anyone, but if you can't really see and find those little, those paths, those holes through, like, it doesn't matter how fast you are if you don't know where you can go. It definitely, you need a little bit of both, and those are both definitely skills to learn. You can keep getting quicker, you can keep finding those holes, and we're really good, have really great coaches who definitely put us through drills to help strengthen both of those skills.
And finding a hole there and scoring a handful of points is Jewel B. Hurton, and she's coming back around looking for more as the blockers reset in front of her. She makes her approach, trying to go outside.
It's a power jam for Jewel B. Hurton. We have, looks like, Kippered Smacks, the jammer for Team White, is in the box. I missed the penalty. I believe it was a track cut, but she will be spending 30 seconds in the box while Jewel B. Hurton enjoys a power jam.
And if you're going to be in a power jam situation, Jewel B. Hurton's a good player to have out there.
She's definitely a good one to have. She is a really aggressive skater, really fast. Definitely one of those people who took to derby like she's been playing it her whole life.
And still trying to cut through and just hits the deck trying to go down. She's going to go ahead and call off the jam.
Right as Kippered Smacks is back on the track. So resetting these lines, we have Double Decker with the Jammer Star for Team White and Crash Menagerie with the blue star on her helmet for Team Black.
Resetting as they get ready. Just about 5 minutes away through this second half, 108-93. And as we approach 25 minutes to play in the second half, Team Black trying to edge Team White. Team Tom trying to keep his radio career going a few minutes longer than Team Sentinel. And we're out. And it's Crash out in front.
Snuck through on the inside. Double Decker is just being contained really expertly well by that black line. Just works her way through. Crash Menagerie has about a half lap lead. Both of these are the only players on our team who have played derby before moving to Sitka. They're the old hats to this. Crash Menagerie calls off the jam just as Double Decker approaches the pack, and we're changing up some lines.
That's going to pile on to Black's lead, 110-93. And for those of you listening at the FCC, you're listening to live roller derby coverage on KCAW Raven Radio. Team setting up for another jam, recycling. Crash is going to go ahead and hand off the jammer duties to Catastrophe.
Slovak yourself has the orange star for Team White, and the jam starts. Oh, Slovak finds that just inch-wide margin on the inside line, jumps her way through, gets lead jammer status. Catastrophe is recycling back ends at the back of the pack. White line really trying to contain her. She's sneaking through on the outside and makes her way through as Slovak reaches the back of the pack for her first scoring round.
Slovak plows right into Valkyrie, splits the double team with Valkyrie and Angela Death, and is going to go ahead and call off the jam as White grabs it, takes a little bit of that chunk out of that lead, and they'll reset for the next jam. And it's going to be Jewel B. Hurton up off the bench to do jamming duties for Team Black.
Bruce Pinner is donning the jammer star for Team White. Looks like White team will be full strength. We currently have a blocker in the box for Team Black, so they'll be starting a little short-handed for their wall, but they're good players. They definitely can make use of three players.
And Jewel B. Hurton trying to go right through the middle of the pack, hits the deck, back quickly up onto her feet. One person to beat, tries inside, fakes back outside, back in, and gets that lead jammer position.
Bruce Pinner still at the back of the pack trying to work her way through. Oh, and she's able to find a hole. just trying to make it past one more black blocker, and she does.
Nice little spin move there by Bruce Banner, staying bounds, throwing the pirouette on as she sneaks on through and approaches back of the pack. Meanwhile, Julby Hurton is trying to get something going here, and she's got one person in front of her.
Oh, Bruce Banner laps. Julby Hurton scoring 5 points as she passes not only the opposing blockers, but the opposing jammer as well. And Jewel is calling off the jam.
And Jewel frustrated, having given up that lead jammer spot, as Bruce Banner doing a great job of just sneaking back in there and finding that hole. Bruce Banner, very patient jammer, lets things develop.
Definitely.
And just whenever you see her pass, it looks like nothing was happening. It's because she allows that action to develop in front of her.
Definitely. She's not forcing things to happen. She's just letting it play out, and she definitely has a good eye for finding that hole, finding those paths through, and taking advantage when she sees them.
Which is really a lot less fun for us than Julby Hurton just throwing elbows and swimming over the top of people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I shouldn't say. She doesn't throw it. I mean, yeah, she's a definitely aggressive player, but whereas Bruce kinds to take advantage of the holes that naturally open, Jewel definitely, she makes those holes happen.
Yeah. Swimming right over the top, just getting through whatever way. 114-101, black out in front of white. We've got an officials timeout going on the floor as they sort out something, or whatever it was, they did it. And we're set up for the next jam.
Looks like the officials are also taking tally of the number of penalties. So you do not have an unlimited number of penalties. Each single player can only receive 7 penalties during a bout. Come that 8th penalty call, they are ejected. Not only are they off the track, they are out of the building. They can't even watch the rest of the game. Definitely motivation to play nice.
Keep it clean. Let's talk about the hits while we're talking about that. You can't be throwing elbows. You don't really extend your hands. What is a legal hit in roller derby?
Well, a legal hit, the kind of visual we like to use is the hospital gown. Whatever a hospital gown covers, your whole front down your knees, about your arms down to your elbows, and everything but the center of your back. That is all legal area to hit and be hit upon. That means you can't be throwing elbows, you can't be tripping, you can't be grabbing opposing team members. Same thing, you can't be sliding up from behind in hockey, like a cross check. You can't be hitting from behind straight across the back.
This ain't a middle school dance, kids. You got to get in there with the body. You can't be using those hands.
Exactly.
And as back into the jam, Hot Wheels out in front, circling around as the pack. Valkyrie, it looks like, is headed to the penalty box.
Yeah. So Hot Wheels is going to be enjoying a power jam, which is exactly what the white team wants. And looks like we had an elbow call for Angela Death on Team Black. So we have another blocker in the box.
So we're looking at...
We are not doing too hot for Team Black right now. They only have 2 blockers on the track currently. Hot Wheels looks like she received a penalty, so she's going to be making her way to the box, allowing Valkyrie, the jammer for Team Black, to go back out on the track.
Valkyrie's back in. She's only got 3 blockers in front of her. White's got full front out, and we'll see what Valkyrie can do with this, trying to take advantage while Hot Wheels is in the box. Valkyrie, 2 players in front of her, bodies up on them, now cuts back into the larger pack. Trying to find a hole, cut off nicely there by Slovak.
Oh, yeah, we got a tight wall going on between Filthy and Slovak. And Molotochki coming in, too, to try to force her out, but Valkyrie stays in bounds.
Valkyrie getting skinny, getting inside.
Jam ends just as Hot Wheels is back on the track, so we will start this next jam with both teams at full strength.
Julby Hurton will be taking over the jammer spot there for Team Black. Black out in front. 118-105 now, as we're under 20 minutes to play.
And we have Double Decker wearing the jammer star for Team White. Some last-minute changes to the lines just under the wire for that jam to start. All right, the jam whistle has been blown. Jewel forces her way again, sneaks through on that inside line, is out in front as a clear head start as lead jammer. Double Decker is still trying to get through those last couple players on the black line. Has some teammates coming in. Oh, great. Kippard smacks. Made a nice hole for Double Decker to get through. And right as Julby Hurton is coming around, meeting up the pack for her first scoring pass.
Tries to take it outside, pushed that way, swims back in and out, and is just going to go ahead and call it. And we'll reset. Angela Deff crash up off the bench for Black, along with Valkyrie, who's going to go ahead and grab the star.
Let's see. Also on the Black line, we have Margaret Banger, Angela Death, Salt, and Crash Menagerie as blockers. Double Decker, Filthy Or, Molotochki, and Nitrogen Peroxide are the blockers for White, with Slovak wearing the Jammer Star.
Slovak's going to try and go outside, and it's going to be Valkyrie cutting back the opposite direction, and Slovak comes right behind her, follows the same lane. When Valkyrie got cut off, Slovak just kept going as that body had been eaten up, found the open space.
Yeah, that was definitely a good spot on her part. Keep me through. Ooh, let's see. I hear a whistle. Looks like Filthy Ore is out for a penalty, leaving the white wall at only three blockers. Slovak fights her way through. We have Valkyrie still out in front, coming around for another scoring pass.
And Slovak's trying to call it, and does.
Looked like there was a little bit of confusion with the jam ref as to whether or not Slovak was indeed lead jammer and allowed to call it off. Turns out she was. Thankfully, no points were scored, so there won't be too many hard feelings at the end of the night.
And we'll reset. 121-10. Black out in front as we set up for the next jam.
We have Catastrophe for Team Black and Bruce Pinner for Team White as jammers.
Pinner trying to work the middle, hits the ground. Catastrophe finds some space in the confusion and is out in front with a chance to add to this Black lead. Catastrophe circling around the track, picking up Steve here as she comes around.
Bruce Pinner made her way through.
And Catastrophe's back into the pack. Fights through a little bit.
Oh, sneaks through like a hot knife through butter. And she calls it off. Calling it off. Ref, look at that. All right. Calls it off. Unfortunately, not before Bruce Pinner was able to sneak in a couple points.
124-110. As F. Scott, the ref, who his name, actually an homage to F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Indeed. He's
or Scott. Francis Scott Key. Or
to all of them, to both.
Fun fact, Francis Scott Key, author of the National Anthem for the United States, Star-Spangled Banner, is who F. Scott Fitzgerald was named after.
That I did not know.
Yeah, there you go, Great Gatsby fans. Can't say you didn't learn something here tonight. Keep that in mind next time you're playing trivia, as we're set for the next jam. And it's going to be Margaret Banger, almost out ahead, still nicely cut off by Peroxide, opening up a hole.
Oh, just laid out. She's back up on her feet, though. Not before Double Decker was able to get through for Team White as lead jammer status. Margaret's still trying to get her way through. Oh, apex jump. Oh, that is amazing. So Double Decker did what we call an apex jump, which is on those corner turns. Instead of just following nicely along the track, she leaps through the air and cuts across the distance. It really takes a lot of agility and a lot of self-confidence to make that happen.
And Double Decker still trying to fight through. Valkyrie shielding her, and we're going to...
Oh, Double Decker receives a penalty, so she's heading to the box to serve that, which gives Margaret Banger the power jam, but oh my gosh, that is not making life any easier. That white wall is really working a number on Margaret Banger.
Crash trying to clear a hole for Banger. Banger still having trouble working her way through, and cut back off as Double Decker, content to sit and let things happen in the penalty box, waiting for the chance to get back out onto the floor.
Yeah, Margaret, I think she's taking some heavy hits. She's looking not quite as same spring in her step as a little earlier on. But Double Decker is back on the track, swooping around behind Margaret Banger. Oh, and another apex jump again. Coming around for another couple points. Margaret Banger is still trying to just get through that really fierce white wall.
Double Decker has kind of found her move here, and she's going to run it till it stops working as she's right back through for another handful of points. And this could be a big jam for white here.
Oh, indeed. Oh, and Margaret finally getting her way through. She looks relieved and definitely winded. I cannot blame her. I am not envious of having to deal with that white wall.
And that's going to be it for the jam. That one going the full 2 minutes. As Double Decker, despite sitting out some of it in the penalty box, having a really good jam for herself, getting White back out on top, 130 to 124 as we're halfway through the final period. Teams reset for the next jam.
We've got Julie Hurton for Team Black, Bruce Pinner for Team White, just in the nick of time on the line for this next jam to start. Whistle is blown. Oh, and it looks like Bruce is going to be trying to make it through that inside line. But, oh, in that whole chaos, Jewel sneaks through yet again for lead jammer status.
Jewel out in front, and let's see. She'll go to work as she approaches the back of the pack. And Jewel. Oh.
Jewel gets, it looks like, a power jam status. Bruce, in trying to make her way through, unfortunately had a track cut. So Jewel B. Hurton is going to enjoy another power jam for Team Black. Looks like, I'm thinking Team White is going to have to kiss that lead goodbye.
And Filthy taking a seat as well on a penalty. So Jewel B. Hurton, with only 3 white jerseys in front of her, is going to rack up points 3 at a time until somebody gets up off the bench for White. Jewel B. Hurton back around trying to add to it.
Looks like Bruce is on her feet in the box, which means her penalty is almost done, but Jewel calls it off before she's able to get back on the track.
133-131, Black back on top of White as we'll reset for the next jam.
So Bruce is going to have to spend an aggravating, probably only handful of seconds in the penalty box while this jam starts before she's allowed back on the track. Whether or not that'll be enough time for Valkyrie, who has donned the jammer star for Team Black, whether that'll be enough time for Valkyrie to get through or not, we will have to wait and see. The whistle is blown. Valkyrie, cutting her way through. Bruce is now back on the track. This might still be enough time for Bruce to get through. Nope. Almost, but not quite. Valkyrie's out in front as lead jammer.
And White gets their extra blocker back, playing that first few seconds with only 3 blockers and no jammer. Valkyrie has lead jam position and runs into that white wall, trying to make something happen, working on the inside turn of the track, takes it back outside.
Oh, and she's calling it off. Oh, that's tricky to do. So the call-off sign for jammers is using both hands to wave up and down, hitting your hips. So when you're in the middle of a pack like that, it's kind of hard to try to move your arms and making that calling off the jam sign and have the refs actually see it. But she was able to do it.
135-131. Still a tight one. Looking at the first bout, nothing like this. It was a close one on the first bout. But we're talking 20, 30, 40 point differences.
Yeah, this is an unbelievably close game going on right now. Normally, normally you consider a close bout to be within 10 to 20 points of each other. But this, my gosh, 4 points difference, this is just insane. Oh, unfortunately for White, looks like Slovak yourself received a penalty, is heading on her way to the box to serve that 30 seconds. Jewel B. Hurting is enjoying yet another power play.
And we'll see if she can take advantage. Black nursing a small lead here as Jewel B. Hurton comes back around and trying to work her way through.
Oh, forced out by Team White. She jumps back in, able to sneak, almost through. Hot Wheels and Kippered Smacks really making it tough for her to try to get through.
Jewel B. Hurton finally out ahead. We'll see if she calls it based on when the jammer exits, and she is going to go ahead and call it.
Just before Slovak was done serving her penalty.
Is there a little bit of gamesmanship going on by calling it before she gets off the bench so that they can give themselves a better shot at having the lead jammer
Definitely.
For the next jam?
Definitely. Yeah, she could do a lot more good for her team by calling it off maybe before she could score more points, but giving her team that head start at the start of the next jam, having that power jam status. like we saw in the last jam where Black again was starting on a power jam, it was just enough of a head start to make sure they had lead jammer status. And so we have the next whistle going. Catastrophe has a jammer star for Team Black. Slovak has a couple seconds left in her penalty, and she's back on the track, but not before Catastrophe earned lead jammer status. She's going to try to make up for it, though. She's got her game face on. She's fighting her way through.
And big pile up in the jam as finally Slovak makes it through, and back out and around is Catastrophe, still trying to get through that traffic jam.
Calling it off. She wasn't able to score any points, but she's going to make darn sure that Slovak isn't going to get any either.
Slovak picking up a head of steam as we're under 10 to play in this bout. Second half, moving along at a brisk pace here. We haven't had the officials timeout. We've been racking up some points here. We've almost reached the same number of points we scored there in that first half. As these teams play, we talked about it at the start of the half, playing a little bit smarter, playing a little bit, still keeping a nice tempo on it, just playing a little bit better derby bout all around.
A little more conservatively. Those first half jitters have definitely worked their way out of the system. They're playing, the pack isn't moving as fast. They're playing a little tighter, a little smarter, a little more conservatively, but definitely some very exciting derby action going on. Oh, wow, white wall acts like a brick wall as poor Julby Hurton. Oh, just bounced right back and onto her butt.
Julba Hurton ran into something she couldn't run over.
And unfortunately got a penalty in the process. She's heading to the box, leaving Filthy Orr with a jammer star and a power jam for Team White.
It's one thing to get knocked down, but to get knocked down and sent to the bench is just...
Oh, but unfortunately Filthy got a little too excited with that power jam status and served a penalty for it. Because Julby Hurton wasn't in the box for very long, neither will Filthy. So she is actually back on the track. Both ladies going to try to play a little cleaner and actually get some points for their team.
1 minute left in this jam, as we'll see how long they stretch this out for. Julby Hurton coming through, knocked out of bounds. She'll have to reset. And, move there by Filthy.
Filthy wasn't, we had a Valkyrie, the opposing team blocker, fell in front of her. Without being able to jump around her, Filthy just, it was like leapfrogging. She leapfrogged over Valkyrie. I have not seen that happen in a derby bout before.
Someone's got good hip flexors, showing a little flexibility as they fight through the pack. And this jam may go the distance here.
I believe it will. With both jammers having been sent to the penalty box, any lead jammer status you might have earned at the beginning, if you get to the penalty box, you're going to forfeit that lead jammer status. Which Filthy Orr is enjoying a power jam as Julby Hurton was sent to the box, and the jam ends. We will be starting with a power jam status for Team White.
145, 139, Black out in front of White. Under 7 minutes to play in this one as they reset. And did you know that Woodrow Wilson is the only American president buried in Washington, D.C.? Most of them are in Virginia or the home states. As we stall for time, as they reset.
You are just filled with random bits of knowledge, aren't you, Tom?
Well, I was filled. That was the last one.
All right.
Let's hope they can run this one out.
All right.
As they reset.
Bruce Pinner is wearing the jammer star for Team White as Jewel is serving her last couple seconds as her penalty for Black. Black is now full strength, jammer on the track, fighting her way through to that initial pass. Bruce Pinner is coming around, reaching the pack to make her first scoring pass.
And Pinner approaching the box.
Oh, gosh.
Just a nice lead.
This is amazing. Bruce Pinner was escorted through by nitrogen peroxide. She just hung on to her hips. Nitro just pummeled her way through, and Bruce was able to sneak on, caboosing her way.
She just hitched her wagon right onto nitrogen peroxide.
That worked pretty darn well. I haven't seen that move before. All right, Bruce is making her way again for another scoring pass. Julby Hurton coming around behind her. We'll see if Bruce calls it off or not. Ooh, and she now calls it off, but not before. It looks like Jewel might have gotten, 1 point on that jam.
So 150, 147. Julby Hurton adding the 1 point. 3-point game with under 5 to play. We've got a heavyweight fight going.
Oh, this is really exciting playing going on. And as I was mentioning before, a full bench can sit 14 players. Right now, each team is only sporting about 9, which means these ladies, they've been skating a ton. I bet their legs are about just ready to fall off. And to have this level of sportsmanship and gameplay is amazing.
Someone who's not tired, Hot Wheels, punching right out ahead, grabbing that lead jammer status.
And Catastrophe making her way through behind Hot Wheels, now approaching the pack to make her scoring pass. Catastrophe sneaking right up behind. Both are going to fight their way through at the same time. Hot Wheels laid out. Catastrophe sneaking ahead. Oh,
knocked out of bounds. And Hot Wheels is going to go ahead and call off the jam. 3:48 to play in this bout.
Still only looks like a 5-point gap between black team leading white. This is a very, very close game. It's going to be down to the wire, down to those last few seconds.
Resetting up. Jewel B. Hurton jumping in as the jammer at the last second there for Team Black. That's an important position to have on the floor as Jewel B. Hurton out in front, right around, and she'll go to work with the lead jammer position.
Oh, Double Decker is sneaking around. She looked like she hesitated, thought she had a penalty called, but wasn't. No penalty for her. She's coming around the track. Jewel is approaching for her first scoring pass with Double Decker hot on her heels.
And Jewel.
Oh, that was a hard hit. Ooh, we might have an issue. Looks like there is a bad game of ping pong going on with Double Decker's head. So we're going to have an official timeout. This is when we are very happy to have the great medical crew that we do.
Dr. Dominator, who clearly in midseason form for the Alpine run, quickly up off the floor going to take a look as we hope we sort this one out.
With a call like this, we've seen it. This is definitely a very, very physical, very high contact sport. We play clean, but accidents still happen. Look, so we have her sitting up. I think she just had her clock run. With this, she might not be in for the rest of the bout, but I would be surprised if she stayed out for a practice at all. She'll be back on her feet. She's a very strong skater. Yeah, I think just got her clock cleaned. She's okay. Nodding, giving a thumbs up to the crowd. Gonna take a slow roll off the track. We're glad she's okay. She'll just be having a couple more ibuprofen before bed tonight.
I gotta say, to skate off after an injury requires a certain little extra something that you don't see getting hurt in other sports. 2:36 left to play, 156-151 as they get set for this next bout. We're running out of jams here as we sneak down to time. Let's see what happens.
The official end to the jam from our head ref Smarty. Not sure what. I think it was a false start call.
And they'll try it again. 2:15 left to play. 156 black, 151 white. As we wind down to the finish here.
Jam starts. Slovak trying to sneak through. Oh, but forced out by Crash Menagerie. Catastrophe working her way through. Slovak coming on the outside. Oh, sneaks through that last hit by Valkyrie and his lead jammer status. Catastrophe still trying to be recycled and working her way through for that first pass. Slovak coming around for her first scoring pass as Catastrophe is still trying to make her initial pass.
And Slovak out ahead.
5 points for Slovak.
And that squares things up at 156 all with 95 seconds left to play. Slovak coming back around. Catastrophe is half the track behind her.
Oh, but she made up that distance quick. Oh, calling it off. Oh, wow. That is a close.
Let's see if they give any points
to looks
Catastrophe.
Like, I believe Catastrophe looks like 3 points for Catastrophe.
So late getting it called off for white, or for black gives white, or gives white a chance at it. 159, 157, white out in front.
We have an official timeout for Team White, so they're going to reassess. It's a very close game. We have 157 black to 159 white. Very, very close game. One thing to note, with those four whistles that end jam, the points are still racked up until whistle number four of those four whistle blasts. So if you call off your jam, the opposing jammer is still cruising by your teammates. It's not until that last whistle is blown that points stop being scored. So it's hard to play it close.
And this is going to be important here as we wind down. We're looking at possibly one or two jams. We're going to send it down to Rachel Waldholtz on the floor. Rachel.
Thanks, Tom. So I'm here with some very avid Derby fans, or at least one very avid Derby fan. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Brandy Pierre, and I am a very avid Derby fan.
So I think you're one of the few people here in the audience who knew the rules before they came out tonight. How did you learn them? How did you learn the Derby rules?
I watched roller derby in Portland when I lived there for the last 10 years. Became a fan there, and now I live
and
here.
She's going to play.
And this is, why don't you introduce yourself? This is a friend in the, sitting next to her.
I'm Allison Gilbert.
And you're encouraging her to play. Oh, you know, I'm going to hand it back. The next jam has started.
Yeah, you're going to hand it back as we're back out on the booth.
Oh, and action is still happening. Jewel is fighting her way through. We have Bruce Pinner for Team White forcing, held back at the very, very back of the pack.
And Jewel still out on front.
Hot Wheels Hutton, a blocker for White, sent to the box for a penalty.
And Jewel is out in front.
Looks like Angel of Death is also sent for the box as a blocker for Black for a multiplayer block.
So we've got
evenly matched
3-on-3 on the blocker side. Behurton just trying to get something going, trying to call it off, and does.
Looks like she called it off. Looks like she did call it off, yep, before Bruce is able to rack up any points.
And we'll see what kind of point totals that results in as we're winding down the clock here. And we got a timeout. 12 seconds left in this game. They're going to add a few seconds back to the clock. 159, 157 says the scoreboard right now. White out in front by two.
So it looks like we have, this will be the final jam of the evening. Just a two-point difference. This is an aggravating sort of thing to have it so close.
All come down to this. The crowd
timeout? What?
Nope, we're going to.
Smarty, head ref, trying to calm down the crowd.
As Black gets a timeout, we'll keep it up in the booth as they sort this one out. These teams really tight. There's only 42 seconds left. So in all likelihood, we're looking at the last jam.
This is most likely the last jam. And to have it so close, oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine the stress that these players are feeling. Just to have, you know, like one simple move can be the difference between winning and losing this bout.
And for Black, you've got who you want out there. They've got Jewel Behurton in that jammer spot. We'll see how she plays it. Odds are she's going to try and go right through the middle of the pack and get that lead spot as quick as she can. Black's down two, so that lead jamming position is going to be important.
It's definitely important to have. And we have Slovak herself. Looks like she is wearing the jammer star for Team White. Another really strong jammer, fast on her feet and good to find holes. So this really is anyone's game, right down to the wire.
It's going to be important for Slovak to get out there in front of Julia Hurd, because that gives her the chance to call it off. And with the lead, you want that chance to manage the points. You don't want to be the one determining the end of the bout if you're the team out in front.
Definitely.
And we're all set, ready to go. And we'll see how they play it.
Yeah, both teams are down one blocker. Not sure. I wasn't able to keep track of what point the penalties are going to be fully served, but
and
evenly matched.
Jewel Behurton
forces through.
And Jewel Behurton.
Slovak close on her heels, though. She wants this bad.
Jewel Behurton's going to want some points. 30 seconds left in the period. We'll see if they run this whole period out in this one. Julba Hurton right through. And
oh, but Slovak is right behind. She calls it.
She calls it off. Oh. And we'll add up the points here. But right now, White out in front, 163-161. 11 seconds left on the clock. Let's see if they can set something up or if that will do it.
No, that is it. You need that 30-second interval between jams, and we don't have enough time on the clock. I believe that's it. I believe that calls it.
So that's it. White.
That is it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is about.
White's going to win this one, 163-161. We're going to send it down to the floor here in just a few seconds for player interviews as they wrap this up. Team White winning this one.
So we're gonna have the White team right now is doing its victory lap. This is a darn good game.
And everyone funneling down onto the floor.
Everyone gets to be on the track for that victory lap high fives. Everyone coming down out of the stands as Team White gets a well-deserved victory lap.
So let's revisit that last jam here. We had Julba Hurton did what she needed to do. She got out in front. She got a quick pass and a quick bunch of points. However,
you know, I think what her mentality was, I think she was hoping that Slovak was just a couple more feet farther back than she was. My guess is she tried to make it through, call it off, hopefully before Slovak was able to get those 2 points that kept them at pace. And, you know, but like I said, like, it's not until that fourth whistle that you stop getting points. So, quick on the draw as she was, you still got to wait for those ref whistles. It was a really close game. Both teams played incredibly well, and there's smiles all around. Everyone had a good time.
And so let's look ahead for these teams. What's next? You guys got Juno on the horizon.
We have Juno. So at the end of May, I believe May 31st, we will be playing Juno in Juno. This will be a really exciting time. We've only really had any scrimmage and bout experience playing against each other. And to have a whole other team with a whole other different skill set, whole other strategy involved is going to be a very, very good learning experience. It'll definitely be a wake-up call we're confident in our abilities, but it's finally going to be truly tested.
And so, like, do you guys like do you watch game tape on Juno? What's the approach strategy?
We do. We have definitely gone to Juno and watched bouts. Some of their bouts, they do have video recordings that we'll watch. But I mean, as competitive as we are, even within the team itself, towards other leagues, we're still playing for the love of Derby. We've actually had, for our first bout, we had guest coaches coming in from Juno. We had Just Julie and Kylie Wyote were guest coaches for our teams. We've had boot camps being hosted by team members from Juno the Roller Girls. So when it comes, at the end of the day, we just want to play Derby and have fun. But from the sneak peeks we've had of skating with these ladies, it's going to be a tough game.
So let's... Between this bout and the last bout, let's talk about the difference. Because this bout, a lot closer bout. And the first one was close, but this one was like...
Not to this degree.
What about as far as, like, is skill and execution differences between this bout and the first bout? And what's changed for these players?
Just from what I've seen, people are playing a lot tighter. The walls that we're seeing this time around looked a lot more cohesive. People were really making sure that they kept track of at least one person on their team. It's been doing a good job. Oh, Crash Menagerie.
Let's go to the floor.
All right, so I'm here on the floor standing in the middle of the Derby track with a member of the Black team. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm number 1944, Crash Menagerie. My real name's Marjorie Hennessy.
And how do you feel about the game tonight?
It was actually pretty spectacular. We get a little competitive with one another, as you could tell, but the fact that the score is that close really reflects that we were evenly matched, and it's a really good morale booster for us heading into Juno in a couple weeks.
So you just lost by 2 points. How does that feel?
Sometimes there's a lot of discrepancies with points, so in my mind, if it's that close, you won. It doesn't matter what the score says.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. We're about to give out MVP awards, so if you want to stick around and interview them.
Great, and I'm going to hand it back to the announcers then.
All right, back up in the booth. We'll see what we can't do about talking to one more player before we call it an evening here as teams getting together for that team photo before they get to clear the floor, get the skates off. What's it feel like taking those skates off for the first time after being on?
Oh, my God, like heaven, because your feet are hurting like crazy. But you can. It's really cool to have this whole team photo because, sure, they're wearing black and white jerseys, but at the end of the day, we are the Sick of Sound Slayers. We are one team that love playing with each other and against each other on evenings like this. Doing a great job. They're going to be taking those skates off, putting on some comfy shoes, cleaning up here in the Haynes Center, putting away some chairs, and then we're going to be heading to the Bayview Pub for our after bout party where these Slayers will enjoy a much-earned ice-cold beer.
And, hey, let's see about talking to one more player here as our floor reporter looks for somebody. We're trying to get to talk to people, and let's not send it down to Rachel. Let's stall for time. Did you know that Joe Lewis held the Havoc Championship belt longer than any other heavyweight boxer?
I did not know that.
And
all right, we got Slovak yourself, captain for Team White, with Rachel on the floor.
And so you're the captain for Team White, and you just won by 2 points. Yeah. Tell me how that feels.
Oh, I can't even describe it. Like, I'm on cloud nine, so it's awesome. It's unbelievable, yeah.
And you did quite a bit of jamming tonight. Tell me what it feels like to be out there jamming.
It feels like you want to get punched in the stomach over and over again, but you're so excited to do it. I don't know. It's like the weirdest feeling in the world because you're super excited, but you're super nervous at the same time. And then the only thing you're thinking of is go fast and find a hole, so...
And we've known you tonight by your derby name, Slovak yourself. And tell me your name in real life.
My real name is Jessica. And if this is live right now, my mom at home is listening in Florida. So hi, Mom, Buffy. Thanks for listening.
So how do you feel going into Juno?
Pretty excited. We just found out that we're going to be playing some of the really hard hitters. And they're really good players, so it's going to be a good test to see where we're at when it comes to Southeast Alaska Derby, because they're one of the best teams in Alaska right now. So we're excited just to see where we fall in Derby in Alaska. So, yeah.
And any hard feelings between teammates after a bout like this?
No. No. Yeah, friends hit friends harder. That's the saying. So, yeah, no. We're all going to go have beers now, and it's going to be a good night. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you to the Haynes Center for hosting us. Thank you to the Sitka Sound Slayers for letting us cover their deal. Thank you to Rachel on the floor, joined by Emily, for Raven Radio News Director Robert Woolsey, for Rebecca LaGuire in the booth, for Dave Clark back in the station, for Jessica's mom, and for Sin and Tonic. I'm Tom Hess. I'm out of things to say, and we will send it back to the Cable House here on KCAW.